Welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
Samson was a great and powerful man who grew accustomed to the presence and power of God in his life. He accomplished so many mighty deeds with such ease that he began to take the Lord's presence and power for granted. Ultimately, he forgot from whom it was that his strength came. He thought himself to be invincible and disregarded the secret of his power. When he told Delilah how his strength could be overcome, I don't believe that he actually thought that he would be weak if she cut off his hair. He presumed that he was so strong that it was not necessary for him to keep the vow under which he had lived. He thought his strength was natural. After he was shorn, he thought he would rise up as he had so many times in the past, only to find that the Lord had departed from him, and he was ripe for failure. Esau was Isaac's firstborn son, the apple of his father's eye. The firstborn son in a Hebrew family had a birthright, which not only involved an inheritance of real property, but carried with it the opportunity to have the spiritual blessings of the father bestowed on him. Esau had little regard to this spiritual blessing, and willingly surrendered it to Jacob for a bowl of soup. And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" Then Scripture goes on to say, "Thus Esau despised his birthright." He counted its value as insignificant compared to his craving to fulfill the desire of his flesh. David was a man after God's own heart. He fought and won many battles and was known as a mighty man of valor. Yet there came a time in his life when instead of going out to battle, he decided to take it easy and be a man of leisure. Because he disregarded his calling, he succumbed to idleness and fell into a great sin with Bathsheba. Rather than fleeing from the temptation, he entertained the thought of sin and ultimately indulged the lust of his flesh. Though not all of these men were spiritual giants, we can nonetheless learn some very important lessons from their mistakes. We must never forget that our strength is from the Lord. If we are left to our own understanding and power for even a moment, we are sure to fail. Just because the Lord has been with us in the past does not guarantee that he will always be with us. The Scripture says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." God will not allow his children to continue in their own strength without taking measures to humble them and correct their thinking. And it shall be said in that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." We must always regard that which is spiritual as far more valuable than the things of this material world in which we live. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." We must regard the calling that God has given us with the utmost respect. We cannot afford to neglect those things he has called us to do, even as age or infirmity set in. The speed and seeming effectiveness of our efforts may diminish, but our calling never does. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. The old saying, "idle hands are the devil's workshop," is just as true as a man ages as it was in his youth. "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest." The warnings that the Lord sent to the churches in the book of the Revelation serve as illustrations of the same warnings which are appropriate for believers in our day. Our love for him sometimes waxes and wanes. Who among the Lord's children has not felt his own heart grow cold towards the things of God from time to time? When that happens, it is always true that it is us who have left him, as we have disregarded the value of his fellowship and grace. When such a state is brought to our awareness, should we not fall upon our faces and seek his mercy and favor? "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent," that is, turn around, "and do the first works." He told the Laodiceans that they had confused success in this world's goods with the true blessings of God. This is an apt description of the majority of churches today. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Are you content, or do you long for his presence?
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.